Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
You should have seen by the look in my eyes, baby, there was something missing.
All right, guys, welcome into another bonus episode. Two Peas on a Podcast. We got another bonus for you. I'm doing this thing where I decided to stick into the decade of the 1980s for my next four or five bonus episodes. So it's going to be all kind of centered around the 80s because I love that decade. Music, movies, pop culture, even history from the 80s. Love it. So we did a couple weeks ago the top five 1980s movie soundtracks, and that was probably the funnest bonus episode I've done to this point. And today, we're still in the 80s. We're doing the top five 1980s love ballads, some of which can be found on soundtracks. So maybe we'll have a little crossover there. I'm not sure. But let me introduce the panel that I invited to come on with me today. All podcasts that I support on Patreon, love all these guys. And all their information is going to be in the show notes. Make sure you check all of them out. You'll get to know them a little bit better today if you don't already. But this young lady was with me when we did the 1980 soundtracks, and she's been on a couple other times as well. Say hello to Emily from The Story Behind. Emily, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Welcome back.
I'm more excited about going back to the 80s again.
Yes, more 1980s. I know you will love that as much as I do. We'll talk a little bit about our research for these ballads. I was in tears last night getting ready for the show, so that's good. We also have from a playlist and Our Americana. It does a lot of stuff for the podcast community. Two pods a day. Just got a lot of stuff going on. I'm surprised he's even able to join us today, to be honest with you. Well, let's say hey to Josh Hallmark. He's been on before. We talked about 90s hip-hop last time, Josh. And you, this time we're, I guess, probably more in your wheelhouse, right? 80s ballads. It's probably a little more.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back and to be talking about something I actually know and care about.
Well, you did awesome on that episode, man. So thanks for coming back. We appreciate it. And then from Netflix and Swill, one half of the duo from Netflix and Swill, I got Caleb on today. First time being on Two Peas. Caleb, thanks for being here, brother.
Hey, how's it going? It's your boy.
It is my boy. It is my boy, Caleb. Thanks for being here, brother. I appreciate it. Dan's been on before, but never Caleb. So I've had both sides of Netflix and Swill now, so I appreciate it. So I got these three guys along to help me, and the four of us have come up with our own individual top five love ballads from the 1980s. I did want to specify love ballads because if we did ballads, it would have to be top 500. There's just so many. Really, there are for love ballads too. So we'll see how we did as far as narrowing down the list. But we each came up with our individual list. We didn't discuss it with each other, with the exception of Africa by Toto. We talked about quite a bit as a potential being on this show. That's apparently Emily's favorite song in the history of time. But what we're going to do, we're going to go around the horn, and we're going to give our 5-1 1980s love ballads. Miss Emily, you are the lady on the panel today, as you were last time. I'm sorry for that, but you got to kick things off. So I will let you get us started with your number five ballad from the 1980s.
And number five through number one is Africa by Toto.
Easy enough.
I couldn't do that.
I'll allow it.
No, unfortunately, Africa, I couldn't justify Africa as a ballad unless you slowed it down. But I went with Take My Breath Away by Berlin.
Classic.
Berlin.
Classic.
I'm trying to think of how to pronounce it because we have a Berlin, Connecticut, and they changed the pronunciation during World War II and everything to be like, no, we don't want to associate it. So like we call it Berlin, where in Germany it's like Berlin. So anyway, so I don't know how to pronounce Berlin.
Interesting. I think it's Berlin.
I can't say it anymore. great songs from Top Gun.
Love that pick. Top Gun, as you know, was on my soundtracks when we did that top five. And yeah. That's on my honorable mentions. It was really, really hard to narrow it down, I will say. But I feel like that's one of the token ballads from the 80s. How do you dudes feel about that pick?
That's a solid pick.
It's a classic 80s ballad.
Yeah, love it.
Take my breath away.
love it. That like kind of synthesized beat that just screams 80s too. And then it's also still kind of tough for Top Gun, which so it kind of hit on all. I love it though. Great pick. Like I said, it's on my honorable mentions along with 500 other songs. But great pick there to get us started off. Berlin's Take My Breath Away. Thank you, Emily. And that'll move us over to Caleb, the newbie to Two Peas, brother. What did you come up with for your number five love ballad from the 80s?
Man, I'm too tired to come up with like a clever way to introduce it. It's I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner. In my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. Can't stop now. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me.
Good one. Good one. That's a... It's a power ballad too, so you got a little bit. You could be on a couple different lists there, but yeah.
No, I kind of leaned hard into the like heavy rock, hair metal type stuff for a lot of this list. So
nothing wrong with that. I mean, they power ballads were their own genre, especially in the '80s up until early '90s. So
that, the first song that I immediately thought of for this was "To Be With You" by Mr. Big, but I found out that that song came out in '91, so it doesn't fit the brief, and I got really bummed out.
Oh. It's cool, man.
That song has led to a lot of heavy petting in my life.
Oh, there it is. A lot of sweet memories then, huh? Well, that's fine. I can have you on for '90s ballads, so just keep that on the back burner. Nice. There. Awesome, man. Good pick. Power ballad. First power ballad mentioned. Good one, man. Josh Hallmark, you do playlists, brother. So you, I mean, you're always researching music, I would assume, and you always kind of pull these indie rock kind of like rare gems, you know. So I'm going to see what you bring today. Hopefully, I've heard of all of yours, but get us started with your number five. What'd you come up with?
I get in trouble all the time for obscure deep cuts, and my number five will not disappoint. And I wanted to represent the gays, so I went with The Rose by Bette Midler.
Good one. I know that one.
Okay, awesome.
I know that one as well. I also know that one.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love,
so I kind of went with what qualifies it as an 80s love ballad. And for me, it's from a movie called The Rose, starring Bette Midler. And it's a good mix of dark and light. Like, there are moments that are, like, really, really cheesy. And then moments that are, like, darkly depressing. And it's got, like, sad opening and the sweeping bridge and then tons of violin and pianos. And, like, just this incredibly powerful vocal. And I think if it weren't Bette Midler, it could easily be considered a power ballad, because she just, like, when she hits a chorus, it's like loud and deep and strong, and you're like, oh, this is like a woman who sings like in like gay cabaret. I was gonna say cabana bars, which I would like to go to a gay cabana bar, like gay cabaret bars.
Right. If that's a thing, that sounds amazing. It sounds amazing. Well, Bette Midler came up a little bit in my research, too. Not that particular song, but I do know that song. So, hey, we're off to a good start there, Josh. Sometimes. Good. All right. So, The Rose by Bette Midler. All right. So, my number five, by the way, oh, God, I can't tell you. Like I said, I was up till 2 a.m. and I'm like, okay, I got to just pick a five. So, my top four, I was pretty settled on. The order, maybe not so much, but the top four, I knew those four were going to be 1 through 4. But for number five, what I ended up settling on and what made the cut was from 1989, so it barely made the cut in terms of what we're doing here today. It was released in the fall of 89. It is Eternal Flame by the Bengals.
That's on my list.
Yes. Hey, we crossed over on soundtracks too, Emily. Man, we're on the same page. I haven't seen Susanna Hoffs lately in pop culture, but I had a huge crush on her in the 80s and even in the 90s, and still do. She's still part of my soul there, but the Bangles were huge for me. I just love women that rock. In fact, spoiler alert, there's only one dude on my list. I have four female-led songs and one gentleman. So I don't know. I just love women rockers, and I feel like the Bangles really were able to cross over from rock into pop. I can't even think of a song of theirs I didn't like. I mean, Manic Monday obviously is a classic, and we talked about Hazy Shade of Winter, Emily, when you were on for the soundtracks from the from the Lesson Zero soundtrack. But just love the Bangles, so I had to put them in my top five. I didn't want to omit them. And Eternal Flame. If you were making out like in middle school, that's the song. You know what I mean? So not that I was doing that. I didn't get a lot of makeout sessions in middle school, but had I could imagine that would be playing. So that was my number five, Eternal Flame from the Bangles.
Yeah, there's a story about that. When she was recording it, her producer told her that, oh, Olivia Newton-John records singing when she's naked. So Susanna Hoffs stripped naked and sang the song. And so now it's just like, oh, the producer pranked her. Isn't that funny? And then you read it now in our climate and you're like, that's bullshit. That's awful. That's pretty awful.
Yeah, no good. I'm sure in 89 that played a lot better than it does today. Emily, you're up again for your number four. What'd you come up with?
So number four is Alone by Heart. I had to throw Heart on there. I love Anne and Nancy Wilson so much. Actually, like you said, I actually have three female sung songs on my list. And it's because in the 80s, women knew how to belt.
Oh, yeah.
Voices that weren't squeezed throat, just, oh my God, I love pop. And like repeating themselves. They are just out there belting their heart out. Like the alto in me is just like, yeah, you go. And plus, Anne Wilson, fucking love her and Cameron Crowe. I have a thing with Cameron Crowe. So
yeah,
those two together.
I'm aware of that as well. Well, that's good. Heart will come up again. I'll just tell you that, at least from my side of the table over here. And more crossover, Emily. We're like, I don't know. Maybe Wayne has competition. I don't know.
It's like you guys are two peas on a pod.
Exactly.
I was thinking that.
Good pick.
Caleb's been waiting all morning to use
it. He's like, here it is, finally. Yes. Well, obviously, I love that.
I like wrote it down last night, and I was like, slip this in somewhere.
This is genius.
Well done, Sarah. Well done. Well, I obviously love that pick. So Heart Alone is Emily's number four, which leads us back over to your boy, Caleb. What do you got over there, man?
Emily, is it really hard for you to not break out into song while doing this too? Like, I feel like Gerald kind of knew what he was doing, and it's just like the Hunger Games, like one of us to start singing first.
Every time I'm on a show, I've been on playlists before too, and I have to break out into song. I'm like, I can't just, I don't know words. that's it. Right.
My number four is like the song that no one knows all the lyrics to, but it always gets stuck in your head. It's Sister Christian by Night Ranger.
That's a good tune.
I should have put that on my list.
That's a good tune, man. That's a love ballad or no? Is that just a ballad?
I think it should count.
Yeah, like, I don't really remember the lyrics off top, but I did see that one come up in some stuff I was researching. That is a great song.
If it's not like specifically about love, it sounds like it is. So like it should count.
Hey, he's going through some emotions.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Well, they're at a motor inn. What do people do at motor inn?
That's accurate.
The motor inn.
Accurate. Your prostitutes, yeah.
That's love. That is a form of love.
It's pain. It is love. Yeah, prostitutes need love too, brother.
It's the oldest form of love.
Yeah, right. you have to love what you do. I'm not judging their career choices.
Hey, I love that. One of my favorite music scenes from a movie is from Boogie Nights when that song plays. Have you guys seen that with Mark Wahlberg? And the scene when they're over at the drug dealer's house and the little boy setting off firecrackers. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And that song's playing in the background the whole time. It's just a very tense scene, and like the music is just really filling up that scene. And that song was Jesse's Girl was also in that scene. So that was a really good scene for music and cinematic kind of meshing together. So great song, man. I love Sister Christian. Good tune. Josh, you're up for your number four, buddy.
Yeah, so I went with Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Nice.
And so my bullet points are: any good 80s love ballad has to include a promise of inconsequence that's meant to have a deeper meaning, such as, I'm never going to dance again. It also needs a shit ton of OOs, which this song is really heavy with. And then the video is full of yachts, linen suits, and singer singing up close in front of a black background.
Pure A's.
It has that epic sax riff.
Yes, well, and that's number four. It can't be a ballad in the 80s without lots of saxophone. And then I think also just like the reason this song is so impactful is you only need to listen to about 5 seconds of it, and you know what song it is, and it will be stuck in your head all day long.
Yeah, yeah. It is a staple of the 80s. Great pick, man. Again, I think George Michael may come up again a little bit later, so I won't get too deep into it, but I love that pick, buddy. Nice one. My number four is a match with Emily. It is also her number four, Alone by Heart.
Yes.
Right? I could have also done These Dreams, which is a song I like a lot too, but I felt like it was a little less ballady. It was a little more kind of like a faster song. But anyway, I chose Alone, probably their most popular, at least from the 80s. But a cool story about this too. Heart was pretty special to me in the 80s and 90s because the only time I've ever won anything in my life is when I won concert tickets to see Heart on the radio. I called in.
You know,
they did that thing where like, you know, be caller 20 and you get tickets to a show. And I was at my grandparents' house, and it was back in the day when, you know, you didn't have internet. You couldn't stream audio. So you would literally listen to the local radio station on like a boombox. And I was just doing my homework and listening to the radio and at my grandparents' house, and they had the contest, and it came on, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call. And I called and got through, and I was like caller 12 or something like that, and I won concert tickets, and my mom took me to see Heart, and Warrant opened for them on that tour.
Nice.
So I got to see Warrant and Heart back in the late 80s, and my mom and I kind of shared that band together. We both loved them. Obviously, empowering for women, because Nancy and Ann Wilson, just so powerful on stage, and their voices just could penetrate anything, you know, and I remember thinking that was so cool. I already told you guys how much I love women rockers, so I had to put them on there, and Alone is probably the most ballady-ish one to come out of the 80s, so that's why it's my number four. So we matched up there yet again, Miss Emily. We'll see if we have any more. So I'll bring it back around to you now for your number three, Emily. What did you got over there for your number three 80s ballad?
Number three is Eternal Flame for me. Like you mentioned before. So the only problem with this song is in How I Met Your Mother in the last season.
Yeah.
They used this song in a terrible scene. I mean, by the last season, it was kind of meh, but they used it in a terrible scene where the main character is letting go of one of the other characters who, you know, he's always kind of loved. And they do this shot where she goes up into the air and starts flying to this song. And she's like, bye. It's the dumbest thing.
Wow.
So
man, I'm really glad that I quit watching that show.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. But that last season was just infuriating as a fan, I remember.
And I'm like, why did you use this song? You ruined it just a little. It's still a great song. It's going to come back for me. But that one scene I still think about.
Yeah, that's true. That's true how the use of something like in popular culture can kind of, you know, scar your view of it, which is strange. Good pick there. Obviously, I agree with it. So you guys into the Bengals? Josh, you like the Bengals, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I love the Bengals. We use that song in an episode of the Karen and Al Letters, and it cost me a fortune to include it. So.
Awesome. Okay, cool. We're up to Caleb's number three, right? Caleb, all right. What do you got, man?
My number three is Home Sweet Home by Motley Crue.
You know I'm a but my heart's of gold. I had a runaway high, so I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went right, it doesn't mean they were always wrong. Just take this song and you'll never be left all alone. Take me to your heart.
Another power ballad.
Good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. I saw this on a when I was like looking for choices. I saw it. It was the number one power ballad on a couple people's list. But that's a good tune, man. And didn't Carrie Underwood remake that? I feel like.
Yeah, and they used it in a season of American Idol. Whenever somebody would go home, they would play the Carrie Underwood version. I was like, stop! You're making me hate all versions of this song.
Yeah. No, that's a good tune, though, man. Motley Crue. Caleb, yeah. you're bringing the pain on the power ballads, buddy. I love it. If I had any hair, yeah, it would be.
I leaned into it hard, so.
Yeah, that's
He's
awesome.
Bringing
man.
The hair. Josh is bringing the sax solos.
I need to grow my hair back out so I can do like a sweet 80s hair metal flip thing.
That'd be awesome, man. All right, Mr. Josh Hallmark, what do you got for your number three, buddy?
So I feel like we've mostly been picking, well, with the exception of Caleb, who's been representing hair bands, we've mostly been picking mom songs. My number three is a bad song.
Okay.
I went with Romeo and Juliet, Dire Straits.
A love struck Romeo. Sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Find the streetlight, steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, babe, how about it? Juliet says, hey, it's Romeo. He nearly gave me a heart attack. He's underneath the window, she's singing, Eli, my boyfriend's back. Shouldn't come around here singing up at people like
Oh, I love that,
that
song.
Yeah, and it's timeless. Like, it's hard to believe it came out in the 80s, because it feels like it came out sooner, or that it's just been with us all the time. But it's another one that oscillates between being embarrassingly happy and devastatingly sad. And I feel like you could accompany pretty much any movie with it. So it could work with, like, a young love scene, a terrible breakup, a drug binge, dark, depressing alcoholism, or wistful reminiscence. So Dire Straits has you covered. And I just like the little guitar at the beginning. It's just as soon as you hear it, your heart melts a little bit. And you're like, yeah, I'm in this 5.5 minute journey.
Yeah, so many layers.
Have you ever heard the Killers version of that?
Yeah, it's good.
Ooh. Yeah, I like that a lot. It's a good cover.
Good pick there, buddy. I haven't heard that one in a long time, but good memories of that song as well. Okay.
Yeah, I always thought that was 90s because it was in Empire Records. And
that's true.
How I remember it.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it came out in 88.
Wow.
That's true. It was on the soundtrack, I believe, to Empire Records, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, okay, my number three is the only one that didn't really chart, at least in the U.S. It did chart, but it didn't make like the top 40 charts, especially coming on the heels of her gigantic hit, which I want to say maybe even went to number one on the Billboard charts. But my number three is a song called Baby, Can I Hold You by Tracy Chapman. You guys familiar with this song?
No.
Obviously, you guys are familiar with Tracy Chapman, I assume. Fast Car.
Yep.
Okay. And Give Me One Reason, which was in the 90s. Well, Baby, Can I Hold You is really unique because it's there's so much pain in her voice, really in general to begin with, but in this song, and she's kind of just really pleading with her lover in the song. And what's really unique about this song is it's maybe 3.5 minutes long, but there's only one verse. And what she will do is she inserts like a fill in the blank. There's three verses. They're all the same with the exception of three words. And what she will do is she's kind of talking to her lover. And, you know, the first verse is, sorry, is all you can say. And then she goes through the rest of her spiel. And then the second verse, she says, forgive me, is all you can say. And she does the exact same verse. And then at the end, she says, I love you, is all you can say. So it's literally, the song is maybe four sentences that she just kind of repeats over and over again. But she fills in with sorry, forgive me, and I love you. And it's a very haunting and just kind of, like I said, it's a plea to her lover. You guys should definitely, if you love Tracy Chapman or if you love her voice, which is, like I said, very kind of haunting to begin with.
But you can say, baby. Baby.
It's one of my favorite songs of hers, if not the favorite. I mean, I love Fast Car, but I feel like it got played out a little bit. You know, it's a classic, don't get me wrong, but I feel like just everybody knows that and you hear it all the time. And Baby, Can I Hold You? Got a couple remakes that brought it back to life a little bit in the 2000s. But like I said, it never charted in the U.S. in the top 40, but it is a very sentimental song to come from Tracy Chapman. So that's my number three love ballad from the 80s. And it was 1988, by the way. All right, guys, we're up to our runner up. We're blowing through it here. And I'm going to let Miss Emily kick us off with her runner up, her number two ballad from the 1980s.
Yeah, my number two was If You Leave by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, shortened to OMD. And it's from the Pretty in Pink soundtrack. Found out that it was actually written in 24 hours because they tested the original ending of that movie. Ducky gets with Molly Ringwald's character, and audiences were like, no, we don't like that. We want her to get with Blaine. So they changed the ending, and they gave OMD 2 days basically to come up with a new song to end it. They didn't want to use the one they had already written, so they came up with If You Leave. And I love that song so much. I love that movie.
That's great.
And I like the ending they went with. I don't know, I root for Ducky, but at the same time it's Andrew McCarthy. So
right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in real life, would she have gone with Ducky? You'd like to think so, but probably not.
She friend zoned Ducky. There was never going to be anything romantic.
Right.
Like Ducky, just, you're a little over the top there. Calm down a bit.
Right. But. Well, that's a good pick. I love that song. Another soundtrack tune, actually, Emily. And yeah.
It's a lot of minor soundtracks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Pretty in Pink was on my honorable mentions when we did that episode. It was a great soundtrack, just kind of like the new wave, kind of like modern pop in the 80s. Good pick there. Okay, so your boy Caleb, what's your runner up, man? You got more power ballads for us, or what'd you come up with?
U2 has always sucked, but my number two 80s love ballad is With or Without You, which is a jam.
Good. So you don't like U2 in general? This is just song special to you or what?
Yeah, it's just a song that's, I don't know, it's always just kind of stuck with me, but yeah, not a big U2 fan.
I love Joshua Tree YouTube. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, so as much of a douche as Bono is, and everyone hates him now, and it's like, don't put songs on my phone. I don't like that, but
yeah, I don't want to automatically have your album. You know what I mean? That's
yeah. I'm like, can I do that with my podcast? People buy a new phone and my podcast right. is right there. That'd like be great.
Preloaded on the new Verizon plan. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that it's hilarious that people always confuse Slash with The Edge.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know why. I mean, I'll let Josh Hallmark, he's the kind of the music genius here right now. I never got into U2. I don't know why, because I feel like they're kind of, quote, legendary, you know, in the rock world. But I don't know. I just never, like, I like With or Without You. That's a good pick. I like that song One, which I think was in the 90s.
I don't know. I kind of feel like U2 is like a decade earlier version of Nickelback, where it's just like the generic rock that, like, everybody knows it, but nobody's really into it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just could never get into them, you know? I don't know. But that's a good song, though. I'm not taking away from your choice. That's definitely a good pick.
And it was Ross and Rachel's song, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You can
They were on a break.
Emily, you could tell you do the story behind, because you can, like, reference where everything was in pop culture. I had forgotten about that till you said it, but you're right. Yeah,
that's ADD. It's just like, oh, you said this. It connects to this and this. Oh, it all connects to Friends. Everything connects to Friends and Africa.
And Africa, of course. And Xanadu. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Josh Hallmark, what was your runner-up over there for 1980s ballads?
So this is actually one of my favorite songs just generally ever, and it's the only Journey song that feels authentic. I went with Faithfully.
to the midnight sun. Wheels go round and round on my mind. Restless hearts sleep alone tonight, sending all my love along the wire. They say that the road ain't no place to start a family.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Steve Perry sings this like he actually means it, which I think most Journey songs feel a bit like he's just phoning it in. And we talked about this on Playlist pretty recently, how it's pretty well documented that when he was out on the road, he was not faithful and pretty much like banged anything that moved. So I have convinced myself that this is a really beautiful love song that is more aspirational than actual, and he's singing about the person he wishes he could be.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship that he is not in, and that makes it so sad. And I'm a big fan of sad love songs, so faithfully not the song you think it is, which makes it even sadder than you think it is.
Yeah, that makes sense now that you say that. I mean, I didn't know about the background. Yeah. I'm sure most rockers in the 80s weren't being extremely faithful so it's not surprising, but yeah, that's a new twist on it, and I appreciate that for sure. Good tune though. Great song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the song when I used to go out with my friends. We'd actually go to the gay clubs because it was like, this is so much more fun than straight clubs where guys are grinding up against you. I was like, oh my God, I can just dance and nobody touches me because I'm a girl. So
that's how I feel about straight clubs.
It's great. And that song, they would have this techno version that would come on and people would go nuts. They were like, oh, it's Faithfully. They'd be like, they'd all sing along.
Yeah.
Like, da, na, 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 na.
I'm sorry, they had a techno version of Faithfully?
Yes, it is.
Made that should be shot.
Any serious help? Why would you do that? So for me, I have a little crossover with Josh here, which makes me excited. But my number two is George Michael's Careless Whisper from 1984. Sometimes credited to Wham. It was on the Make It Big Wham album is when it appeared. But, you know, kind of, I mean, Josh wrapped it up beautifully earlier. But, you know, George Michael to me is timeless. He was one of my favorite artists of the 80s. You know, the Faith album, which I know this wasn't on, but was just, I mean, I was playing that just on repeat for like a year. George Michael was very impressionable on me, and I just thought he was such a great entertainer. When I would see him in interviews, even later in life, I mean, he was so funny and charismatic, and obviously a huge tragedy when we lost him about a year ago, so early, but just a great song. And just if you think in the terms of the 80s, if you can like take yourself back in like a time capsule and put yourself there, very melodramatic, obviously, kind of like what Josh said, like, I'm never going to dance again, you know, it's a little much. If you can put yourself in that situation and you happen to be going through a breakup, for example, or some tragedy in your life, I mean, I'm sure that song was very powerful and would speak to you at the time. You know, listening to it now, I mean, it's just pure 80s. I mean, it's almost like it's hard to even take it seriously because it's so 80s. But if you can kind of step back and look at it from that lens, I feel like it's just still a timeless song. And like I said, I love George Michael. So that is the only guy on my list at number two, George Michael's Careless Whisper. So we matched there, Josh. Did I awesome. Do good? Did I do good? I did good, right?
You did good.
I did good. Okay, cool.
I know. It's like we all search for Josh's approval of our music picks because he's so well-versed
okay?
in music.
Is this okay? Like, yeah, absolutely. What are we? Number ones. Okay, so Emily, you're going to start us off with our round of number ones. I am excited to hear what you have as your number one ballad from the 80s.
Well, hold up a boombox because my number one is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
Good one.
Nice.
Good one.
So it's just that movie, Say Anything. I'm going back to movies. That scene is so powerful and creepy now when you watch it and you're not in your teenage years. You're like, what the hell is this guy doing? But at the time when you're watching that and you're in high school or you're just out of high school, you're like, that is the sweetest thing anybody could ever do. Ione Skye is a fucking moron. You go out there and you get John Cusack in his little trench coat and you go have sex in the station wagon again.
Everybody wants somebody to do that for them, but then if it actually happens, it's creepy.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Total creep factor. I never actually... Well, and today, they sort of did a joke version of it at the end of Easy A, where he's holding up the speakers connected to his little...
And they just redid it. They just reenacted it.
Yeah.
They just reenacted it for an episode of The Goldbergs, too. I don't know if you watched that show, but that was kind of cute because the little boy's like 13 in it, but, you know.
It's one of those things that scene is so iconic that no one's ever going to forget that song, that movie.
Exactly.
John Cusack, Peter Gabriel, just because everybody will do this in some generation and understand, oh yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, again, it's on my honorable mentions, and it was one of those that was teeter-tottering for number five spot for a long time. Love that song. Great pick. Got no problem with it. Great number one. Peter Gabriel's In Your Eyes. Another soundtrack song. Yep. You really are. You're killing
it. I know. That's where I learned a lot of my 80s music is either listening to adult contemporary rock radio or from movies.
Makes sense.
You know, making those connections.
Makes sense. I love it. Good pick. Caleb, you want to give us your number one, buddy? What do you got for your number one love ballad from the 80s?
All right. Well, my number one, it's not a song about romantic love. It's about a deep love of all mankind and a song about our responsibility towards each other. For my number one 80s love ballad, I chose Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
As I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's the why no one yet to know.
Nice.
I thought you were going to say Heal the World for a minute.
Or We Are the World. I thought you were going to go We Are the World, which I think was 80s too.
We Are the World, yeah.
Man in the Mirror is a classic, as is Michael Jackson, but I couldn't sell this as a love ballad. Tell me again what you said, Caleb. This is a what? A love song to humanity? What'd you say?
It's about a love for our fellow man.
Okay.
And, right. Not a romantic sort of love, but I think it should count.
Okay. Hey, man, I got no problem with it. I love that song. I'm looking forward to listening to it when I go back and edit. That's great.
You didn't say top 80s romantic love ballads.
That's true. So. That's true. It is a form of love. I'll give you that. Absolutely. Good pick. You guys, Michael Jackson fans, obviously, right, Josh? I mean,
of course.
King of pop. I mean, forget
Who
it.
Who says no?
I know. What is it? One person is like, no, not really. Like, what?
Like, I think he was overrated. Go on another planet. Go.
Like, what impact has he had? You know? Okay. Yeah. All right. Nice pick there, Caleb.
that, then you don't need to talk to them anymore. You don't need that kind of negativity in your life.
I agree. Actually, Nick probably doesn't like Michael Jackson. We need to check with him.
Probably.
just kidding, Nick, if you're listening. All right, so Josh Hallmark, I'm excited, brother. What's your number one love ballad of the 80s?
So I'm actually shocked this has not come up at all today. I went with what I consider like the ubiquitous love ballad from the 80s, and that is a song called Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
I'm surprised it hasn't either. It's on my honorable mentions, and I'll explain why it didn't make it. But go ahead and tell us why you picked it.
Well, I don't think anyone thinks of 80s ballads and doesn't think of the song. And I find it hard to believe that there's anyone on the planet, much like Michael Jackson, who does not love the song. And if you don't, you're either a liar or a sociopath. It's just... It's really pretty. It could be like a relationship love. It could be a friend love. It could be a family love. It's used in like every great movie and every great scene.
The second hand unwind. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting.
It's another one where, again, I feel like Cyndi Lauper, who was very talented through this period of her music, was kind of phoning it in a lot. And this is another one where it felt like she actually meant it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a really beautiful song. And
I do too.
There's nothing tainted about it. It's just pure loveliness.
I do too. It's on my honorable mentions. Much like what Emily said earlier, I'd feel like when I see that song pop up in pop culture, whether it's in some kind of cheesy commercial or in the scene of a movie that I don't particularly like, or even a TV show, I don't know, it just kind of like lessens it a little bit more, just because I start associating it with things that I shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. If I step out of that and I look at just the song, you're right. I mean, it is one of the quintessential 80s ballads. So it's on my list of 300 honorable mentions. I think it's an awesome song. I also love Cyndi Lauper's All Through the Night, which would probably categorize as a ballad as well. Was that album's called She's So Unusual, I think, right? If I'm remembering that correctly. Just a great album, just period. I mean, obviously, Girls Want to Have Fun is what really kind of like catapulted her off that album, but that's a great album and kind of spoke to that era of the 80s. But I think it's a great pick. Time After Time, good tune. I actually used that for the GIF for the Twitter feedback, because that's the one that I immediately thought of. So something should be said for that to what you're saying, Josh, because I was going to leave a poll, you know, like what people think of their 80s ballads. And that was the first song that popped in my head. So I looked up Cyndi Lauper and I used her GIF. So there you go. The GIF or GIF is GIF, right? Let's go ahead and settle that now. Is GIF?
Let's do it with GIF.
GIF. That's what I say. Okay. Nobody corrected me. So I felt like I was okay there. All right. I'm going to pull up my notes on my number one and see what you guys think. Okay. So my number one love ballad from the 1980s is from 1983, which just so happens to be the oldest song on my list at number one, Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is my number one. I mean, this song is, again, if you listen to it in the context of 1983, it'll probably be a little more impactful for you than if you try to really take it seriously in 2018. But if you listen to the lyrics, I mean, it's so haunting. She has that raspy voice. You guys can probably see a little bit of a pattern on my list with Tracy Chapman and the Bangles and some others. But she has a very distinguishable voice. And, you know, she says things like, you know, every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by. And then I see the look in your eyes. That's just one line I wanted to point out. I feel like she's kind of like rehearsing feelings that we all feel at one time or another, and they're often surrounded by love or in the realm of love or breakups or heartache. Every now and then I get a little bit helpless and I'm lying like a child in your arms. You know, things like that. It's like it's just so painful and so beautiful, and her voice just makes it that much more powerful. I know she didn't write the song, but I feel like her voice is really what kind of sold it to the audience that it sold it to. And, you know, we had the solar eclipse this year, so it got a little bit of a rebirth in 2017. But, yeah, this song is just, you know, every time I hear it, you know, like last night, for example, when I'm studying for the show here, I had my headphones on. It was like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just listening to her in my headphones. And it really is a powerful thing if you're able to kind of put yourself in that isolated situation and hear her kind of pain come through the speakers, if you will. And that's why it's my number one ballad from the 1980s, Total Eclipse of the Heart. You guys cool with that? What do you guys got to say about that?
Yeah, it was on my honorable mention. I think it's such an 80s ballad that it's kind of become a caricature of mm-hmm. 80s ballads.
I agree.
That said, it's inspired a lot of other really big songs like Celine Dion's, what's it called?
Power of Love.
I know what you're talking about. Because
it's all coming back to me now. It's the same video. Yeah. It's all coming back to me. And then Meatloaf's.
I'd Do Anything for Love.
Michael Bolton's I Said I Love You But I Lied. Like all of those very big songs are like ripoffs of this song. I think like it's totally cheesy, but it's great, and it is the 80s ballad.
Mm-hmm. Well, great, man, appreciate it. So there you go, guys. Go ahead.
I was gonna say the same thing with the video in the castle, and it gets really creepy. And if the song weren't playing and you were listening to like a minor key version of that song, compared to that. Like a True. Total eclipse of the heart. You're like, oh my God. They're creepy children. They're little birds that like scary birds that just fly out.
Right.
They're crosses. All willy-nilly.
True.
What have you.
True. That'd be super creepy. Okay, well, there we go. That's our top five 1980s love ballads. I did want to do a few honorable mentions. Hopefully we can reel it in and just do a few because I had a ton on mine. Let's see. Miss Emily, did you have any that weren't mentioned by anybody on the panel today that you want to give a shout out to?
Almost Paradise from Footloose, which is, oh my gosh, I love harmonies. I love a good harmony. So if people do a great harmony in a song, I'll get goosebumps no matter how cheesy, how corny the song is. I'm like, oh, that's a good harmony. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm. So, no, it's a great
love
song.
Almost Paradise.
It's a great song. Are all yours from soundtracks? I'm not trying to be funny. Were all of them?
Pretty much. Well, Alone?
No, Alone's not. Alone's not. I feel like that was in a movie, but not. It wasn't like born on the soundtrack. But
yeah, An Eternal Flame. I don't
know either.
I think I knew the song before I heard it in anything. So
that's awesome.
Alone and Eternal Flame. But for the most part, a lot are soundtrack based.
Awesome. Okay. Let's see. Your boy Caleb. My boy Caleb. Did you have any honorable mentions you want to throw out there, buddy?
I'm a man. I had Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Of course.
Up Where We Belong by Joe Cocker from An Officer and a Gentleman.
Good one, yeah.
I almost put that. That's 1990.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It was on the Wikipedia page. They lied to me.
Oh, man. I thought it was 89 as well.
I'll kill them.
It may have been the movie was 90, so because I remember crossing it off and being like, oh, that was 90.
That's a great song, though.
Yeah. Well, good thing it's an honorable mention. also, I put this on my honorable mentions because I don't think it really is like a love ballad, but I put Gypsy by Fleetwood Mac because I just wanted to mention Fleetwood Mac.
That's cool. Love Stevie Nicks' voice, too. Another one of those raspy voices that I love. Okay, awesome. Josh Homer, do you have a few honorables you want to throw out there, man?
Yeah, I went with Falling by Julie Cruz, which is iconic to like a small group of people who loved Twin Peaks. And then yes. I did Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol.
Good one. Good one. I have so many, but you guys mentioned a few of them, however. So let me just throw. So No One Said I'm Surprised. Actually, I thought Caleb was going to throw this one out there, but Every Rose Has a Thorn by Poison from 88. I had to
That got played out in
It did.
Rock of Love on VH1. Yeah. Because he would use that as an analogy. He'd be like, you know, love, it's like a rose,
yeah,
but not in the Bette Midler version, because every rose has its thorn. We'd be like, you're so smart, Brett Michaels. Yeah. We get it. You have this song.
We've heard that before, right? But I feel like that was an iconic one. I think that was 88. And then I had to put it on. I'm going to do a future episode of top five boy band songs. And I had to put Please Don't Go Girl by New Kids on the Block. Please Don't Go Girl. Just hearing Joey in that first verse, I feel like he was like maybe 12 when that song came out. Just hearing him sing about love. And I was a big, no shame in saying my sister and I were both big New Kids fans back in the 80s. Let's see, what else I have on here? I had Milli Vanilli, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. I had Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon.
Solid pick.
The Flame by Cheap Trick. I love that song back in the day as well. So that's some of my honorable mentions. I want to thank these guys for coming on. It was a lot of fun. I love the 1980s. Anytime I can get anybody that has likewise views about the 80s, I enjoy talking about it, and I really appreciate you guys being here. I'm going to go around the horn real quick, tell everybody where they can find you online, point them to the best place to find you guys, and then we'll wrap up. Emily, go ahead and tell folks where they can find you and the story behind.
Yeah, you can pretty much find me and my shows and wherever I am at thestorybehindpodcast.com. And I'm working on a series of The Story Behind 80s Edition. And I'm finding out that so many things were not made in the 80s like I want them to be. No, Siri, not now.
Including Siri.
I've been waiting for Alexa to say something.
Oh, I know. I haven't said her name, so hopefully she'll...
Damn it, she heard me.
Hopefully she'll keep quiet back there. Okay, awesome. Emily, thanks so much for being here, hon. You know I love you. And since I'm doing all these 80s bonus episodes, I feel like you'll be back sooner than later. So, but thanks again for doing it. I appreciate it. Caleb, tell everyone where they can find you and Dan. Dan's my boy also, and you guys do an awesome show about Netflix. Go ahead and tell folks where they can get you guys at.
All right, well, I'm excited about this because this just launched pretty much today. You can find us on netflixnswill.com.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Ooh.
That's the letter N, not and. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and was taken. Those pricks. We knew about that. Yeah.
Bastards. Oh, well.
NetflixNSwill.com. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes. Thanks for being here, brother. It was a pleasure to have you on for the first time. You did good, man. You brought the power. Oh, yeah, you brought the power ballots to the table, and I appreciate that. And
yeah, I feel like my hair's grown like a foot already.
Get some Aquanet out, brother. Okay, and then Josh Hallmark, who came on about 6 months ago and did hip-hop albums, was back and so kind to do this. Josh, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you? And I know you're doing great things with Karen and Ellen and Our Americana and Playlist, of course. Where would you like to people to look you up at, buddy?
Well, all of those, and I'm on all social media. You should also check out Two Pods a Day, where we encourage listeners to listen to two independent podcasts every day for a month. And I have three new podcasts coming out this year, so just hang out at our-americana.com to see what's going on.
Awesome, and I will also make sure to put that in the notes for you guys. So there you go, Emily, Caleb, and Josh, thanks so much for being here. That was another bonus episode. We hope you enjoyed the top five love ballads from the 1980s. Now go make out with somebody. Get all these songs together and find somebody and have a little make out sesh. Guys, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. I'll talk to all you guys soon, okay?
All right, thanks for having us.
I hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. 12:30 flight, the moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.